Ace Motors.
Hey there, all you mere mortals.
Wow, what was that one?
I'm Godlike.
I love that. I like the first one, though.
My Samuel L. Jackson opening.
Yes. So, we're recording late, y'all.
It's Jan's fault.
It is not my fault. That is not my name. Troy, how many hours have you worked this week?
87?
87 hours?
I think it's just 80 this week.
Just this week? Yeah, Troy's worked about 80 hours this week, so he got home and was like, I'm just going to take a quick nap before we record, and I was like, okay, that's fine. So he took a nap. Well, I fell asleep too, and that was our technical difficulty. I could not wake up to wake us up. So we are recording late. We do have some fun news, though. We are now on YouTube.
Woohoo!
Yay! And you just look up Supernatural Smut, and we are in between the Dean and Castiel smutty scenes that have been put together for Supernatural. So just keep going and find us. And it's mainly just the headliners right now. Hopefully we'll start being able to put the whole podcast on there. But just some of our old stuff that we've done as of now. And of course, we are on TikTok now. I'm coming up in the times, right?
That you are. I mean, wow. You're like almost 50 and you're on social media.
Almost 50. No, I did not want to do TikTok because it worked.
It's for drug dealers.
You are so mean. listen, y'all. I wanted to get Cash App. Because I don't have Venmo or anything. And Troy goes, get Venmo, Cash Apps for drug dealers. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, now, like, our daughter's like, Mom, why don't you have Cash App? I have Cash App. And I'm like, because it's for drug dealers. And she's like, what are you talking about? So it's like a huge joke now. So anytime I want to get something, Troy's like, no, it's for drug dealers.
You know what? I just thought of something.
What?
I think it's time I come clean to you about something.
What?
Okay.
We're in a public place.
Remember when at our old house, and you know, we had that little wine fridge.
Yes.
And the wine kept moving.
Yeah.
That was me.
You already told me that like years ago.
Oh, did I really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, cool then. Never
mind. You already told me that.
Oh, cool. I thought I'd never told you. All right, cool.
But was that you that I saw in the kitchen that I was talking to? And you ignored me and smiled at me. And no. That was not you. No. Okay. That's awesome.
And the footsteps were not mine.
No. Okay. Awesome. So.
But anyways, how's your week been?
My week has been kind of a roller coaster. Like, it's been good and bad and good and bad.
Next time you're up and down is under the sheets.
Oh. Okay. How's your week been?
It's been long.
Well, obviously.
Just long.
Long.
And you know what really grinds my gears?
What? Tell me. You didn't have anything to say after that, did you?
No.
You forgot?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
You made me forget.
You know what grinds my gears?
What?
When I make a beautiful dinner, and then you're like, but I'd rather have bacon, and I have to go make a whole plate of bacon.
But see, the problem is, for dinner, you made like 2 strips of bacon for everybody, and I got the taste of it, and it really just pissed me off, and I got to taste bacon and not eat more of it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, hey, I know we have a whole cake upstairs. Taste this and see if it tastes okay. But you can't have any of it. That's kind of what you did.
It is what I did. Asshole. I know.
Oh, did you see the article I sent you where NASA was talking about trying to find life?
Yes, I did see that.
From outer space. And then also two guys, Mexico. Yeah. Somebody in Mexico released a body to the Mexican Congress saying that it was aliens from thousands of years ago. That just happens to look like all the regular images we think when we think of aliens.
Well, also, like, it's been all over Instagram. And so if you haven't seen that, then you don't have social media, I guess. But
who knows if it's real or not, like, nowadays? I mean, who
also
knows?
Well, it's also Congress too, which that gives me some kind of hope. But I mean, we had to get the idea from somewhere. Yeah.
I mean, I knew they had governments, but I didn't know they had like a Congress like ours.
Oh, you're thinking like prime minister and stuff like that?
I guess. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I just never think about it.
London Has Fallen today.
Awesome.
Captain Random for you.
I played on social media all day trying to get caught up with the game.
Every time I text you, you like took forever to respond, and then you were short. So I knew you were up to something.
I was posting all those little shorts on YouTube, trying to get some kind of, you know, a bunch of videos on there and not just have one, you know?
Right. I hear you. Get it, girl.
Okay, so
what's this week's story about?
That's enough rambling. This week's story is about haunted Hollywood.
Ooh.
Or should we call it terror in Tinseltown?
Or you cannot and just call it what you originally was going to call it.
Haunted Hollywood?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that then. Yeah, we are doing Haunted Hollywood, and we're just going to go over a bunch of spots in Hollywood that are haunted, obviously, but a lot of them go back in the day and when Hollywood was new, you know what I mean? When it was like the golden age, I guess, for
the 20s and
movies. Yeah, like, you know, with Marilyn Monroe and Rudolph Valentino, like, the glamour and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I love glamorous Hollywood. It's so just
Glamorous. Yeah, I like old school Hollywood.
It's amazing to
me. Back when they had original ideas and they're not remaking every movie, every fucking made. Sorry.
Yeah, did y'all know that they remade The Exorcist?
They're remaking Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
They remade Pet Sematary. No, they're doing a prequel to Pet Sematary.
They're doing, they did a remake to Little Mermaid. I mean, I'm not talking about characters or it being woke or any of that stuff, y'all. I'm talking about just being remade, period, to where, like, there's movies and stuff that doesn't need to be remade. And my thoughts on it is not trying to be non-woke or woke or whatever y'all want to call it. It's the fact that they just don't have any more ideas. They ran out of ideas.
Yeah. There's something else, seems like. I mean, everything pretty much.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah.
Tired?
I am.
Yawn there.
No. Yeah, they have remade a ton of movies. I do have to say, though, we watched some of The Little Mermaid the other night, and it was really good. Like, I enjoyed it. So, if you're on the, you know, if you're worried that you're not going to like it, you will love it, because it is so much like the cartoon. It's basically identical. But it's just in real life, and it's so cool. Because the girl, I don't know the girl's name.
See, what you don't realize, though, is The Little Mermaid was actually a remake.
Yeah.
A splash.
No. What? No.
Do you remember that movie?
Of course I do. It used to be like my favorite movie.
Oh, yeah, because you're old.
What? No, I'm not old. Stop it.
Vintage?
Hmm? No. Anyway, so we're doing Haunted Hollywood.
Okay.
And
I'll quit disturbing you.
What? No, you're fine. Now, the first place we're going to talk about is
the Hollywood sign?
No.
Because hadn't people killed themselves there?
How do you know that? I didn't even know that. Like, it surprised me when I saw the Hollywood sign was haunted.
That's why they've done a fence around it.
Really?
I think. I don't know for sure.
What? Who are you? Do you want to take this episode over for me? Because that was truly news to me when I saw it. But we'll go over it.
You know what really should be haunted?
What?
And the fact that it, like, very similar. The Jason Lee Crow movie, when he got killed, the same way his dad did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, of course, that was Hollywood, you know.
It was Brandon Lee.
Yeah. What did I say his name was?
Jason Lee.
Oh. Is that somebody we know?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't know where I pulled that out from then.
It sounded right, though. Like, I went along with it. But then I was like, wait, no, it's Brandon Lee. Where was that?
That was in Hollywood.
Yeah, I wonder if it was on a certain stage. Because I know some of the stages are haunted.
Well, yeah, because... you know, isn't there the replacing bullets with, or blanks with bullets?
Yeah.
And then there's, like, the Wizard of Oz, little dude dying in the background. And
which we should do a whole episode on the Wizard of Oz. Because it seems like there was a lot going on in that movie that shouldn't have been. So.
Three men and a baby.
That one gets me. But the first place we're going to talk about is the Comedy Store.
Is that on a set?
No. Oh. It's an actual place where young comedians get their start. Their first, like, if you've made it to the Comedy Store, you're going to make it as a comedian, pretty much. So, before the club was home of some of the world's greatest comedians like Lucille Ball, Dean Martin, and Jerry Seinfeld, the Comedy Store was a club in West Hollywood and home to numerous mobsters.
Ooh.
Love my mobsters. One mobster who still haunts the building is known as Gus, a hitman who is still upset over being betrayed by his gang and murdered. According to the legend, the common room gets unbearably cold and often you can see your breath. Waitresses have set tables only to turn around and have tablecloths refolded and silverware put away again.
God, that would piss me off.
It would make me happy if it was the end of the night.
Yeah, but if not,
right? If someone turned a light off, chances are it'd be turned on again. Employees also get calls on the intercom from a non-existent line 31, and all that is on the other line is someone breathing heavily. Ooh. As bizarre as it is, employees don't feel threatened, and they think these ghosts have a sense of humor. After all, the ghosts only call when everyone is really busy. Now, I also heard that it was kind of a makeshift abortion clinic, and so there was a lot going on in this club back in the day. You had the mob, you had that going on. There was so much. And you remember Sam Kinison, the comedian? You don't remember him?
No.
He used to yell all the time. He died a while ago. But apparently he was performing at the Comedy Store and he was levitated.
Levitated?
Like lifted up in the air.
Oh, yeah. I see, senor.
Yeah, yeah. So there is a lot that goes on at the Comedy Store. Now, next we have the Silent Movie Theater, and I love that they still have this, you know?
Right.
After the first talkie, what they call regular movies, I guess, or did they call them Nickelodeons and talkies and stuff like that?
I don't know.
I think that's what they did. The jazz singer in 1927, silent movies became a thing of the past, but in 1942... John Hampton founded the Silent Movie Theater in hopes to bring silent classics back to the people. Since most studios were destroying old footage to make room for new, Hampton and his wife Dorothy were diagnosed with cancer after years of being exposed to the chemicals it took to restore all the films. After they both died in 1990, it reopened under Lawrence Austin. It wasn't long before Austin was murdered in 1996 by his business partner, James Van Sickle, and gunman Christian Rodriguez. It's now under new management, but employees report seeing and hearing both former proprietors, usually after hours. Austin often likes to come out around Halloween, where one worker claims that Austin spoke to him on his way to work. Which, the whole Halloween thing, it gets me, because with
the veil is thinnest.
Yeah, the veil is thinnest, and it, like, I never thought about it until we watched American Horror Story, you know, when that's when you could see all the ghosts and they got to come back for one night, you know.
Gotcha.
And that's when they got to walk around and not just stay in the house, I guess.
I need you to say something about Star Wars in a minute.
Go for it, because we're going to a next story.
Okay. So, as everybody knows, Ahsoka's on, and we got to see Anakin this past weekend. Like, the whole, like, it was well done, and it was, like, we'll live forever in Star Wars lore.
Oh,
whatever.
My gosh, yes.
But here's the thing. Watching Rebels and Clone Wars, you see little Ahsoka running around, right?
Mm-hmm.
You never really got to picture her until you saw how young she was in the live action. You see this little girl in live action.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see, like, you had to see it on TV in live action to get the idea of how it was in Rebels. You never really paid that much attention to it. You just saw a girl running around. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You didn't picture her as a little girl.
Right.
Also, fun fact, the little girl that played Ahsoka is the little girl that played young Gamora.
Yes.
Which, that little girl, I wish I knew her name. She's amazing.
I've got it. I sent you an article on it.
I know. I follow her on Instagram and I cannot think of her name. Because she's freaking amazing. You know it?
For sure. Okay. Anyways.
Okay. Well, sorry. We'll talk about this afterwards. Okay. Next we have the Supper Club at the Vogue Theater.
Hey, isn't there something with, what was that club? Was that in Hollywood or was that in New York? 59. Studio 59.
Studio 54.
I thought it was 59.
No.
Okay.
But that's in New York.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Where all the celebs went to and shit.
Yeah. Back in the 1800s, before the movies, Hollywood Boulevard was known as Prospect Avenue. Where the Vogue...
Prostitute Avenue.
We don't say that anymore.
Oh.
Where the Vogue Theater now stands used to be the Prospect Elementary School. And in 1901, there was a fire killing 25 students, their teacher, Miss Elizabeth, and burning the building to the ground. The Vogue Theater opened in 1936 and remained a movie theater until 1992, but was left completely abandoned until 1997. There are thousands of accounts of paranormal activity, at least 6 children and 3 adult ghosts. One adult ghost was reported to be Miss Elizabeth, and the 2 others were Fritz, a German projectionist who died of a heart attack, and Danny, a maintenance engineer who died of a drug overdose in the 80s. People often saw full-form apparitions, objects were frequently moved or misplaced, and strange odors came from everywhere in the building. The Supper Club opened in 2010, and ghost sightings at the newly renovated Vogue Theater have seemed to die down, but they have a yearly Halloween masquerade.
Ooh.
So you can join others in celebrating the scariest night of the year in one of Hollywood's most haunted spots.
We need to do that.
How
every
fun.
Okay, when Ashlyn's out of the house and we're empty nesters,
mm-hmm.
we need every Halloween to go to one of those, like the masquerade ball in New Orleans.
Yes.
And then all the other stuff,
like, absolutely,
that would be cool.
Yes, I love that.
Good
so
idea
much.
Troy,
good idea. Okay. The Hollywood sign. The Hollywood sign symbolizes the magic that the movies are capable of bringing to the world. But for as long as there's been movie magic, there have been countless young hopefuls trying to make their way in the film industry.
Yeah, they did.
Wow. Among the unsuccessful was Peg Entwistle, an aspiring English actress down on her luck, living with her uncle in downtown Hollywood.
Her uncle, huh?
Yes, her uncle. One morning, she told her uncle she was going to the drugstore to see some friends and did not return.
He getting a jealous rage?
No, she left a suicide note and jumped off the H of the sign to be discovered later by an anonymous hiker. People going for walks in these hills have claimed to witness a woman in clothes of the 20s approaching them and soon disappearing and even jumping off the letter H of the Hollywood sign. Didn't you remember? Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but the Hollywood sign actually used to say Hollywoodland.
Yes, I knew that.
I wonder why they changed it.
I don't know.
Okay. Cool.
I don't know. You want me to look it up?
Actually, do you care to?
No, I don't, but I will after this.
You're playing Angry Birds.
But I'm listening.
Okay. So,
and I'm interacting.
You are interacting.
Don't
you're
be
doing,
hateful.
I'm not being hateful.
You're getting really hateful in your old age.
Okay. So next we have
your golden years.
The haunted history behind the Hollywood Roosevelt.
Like the hotel?
Yes. The Roosevelt.
Wait, like the one in American Horror Story?
No, that's the Cecil. We did a story on that one already.
Yeah, I know.
The Roosevelt is a Hollywood Boulevard landmark, welcoming both celebrity icons and regular travelers alike. Charlie Chaplin, Prince, and Angelina Jolie have spent the night under the Roosevelt's roof. And it's even rumored that famed actor Errol Flynn concocted his bootleg gin recipe in the bathtub of the hotel's barbershop. Now, while I was doing research on all this, I heard somebody, like, they were talking about all the people that had stayed there. And one that stuck with me, because I thought it was really cool, was Shirley Temple learned to tap dance there.
Aww.
And I thought that was so, like, that, I mean, everybody knows who Shirley Temple is and how old those movies are. This is how old the Roosevelt Hotel is. I just thought that was kind of neat. But there's a darker side to one of Tinseltown's oldest hotels, one that would even give Disneyland's Tower of Terror a run for its money. The story begins with Marilyn Monroe, when the once aspiring model took up residence at the hotel in hopes of her big break. Monroe called the Roosevelt home for 2 years during the 1940s and even shot her first magazine cover by the hotel's pool. Of course, Monroe would go on to become one of the biggest actresses in history.
Still is.
Yes.
Like, we're still talking about her, what, 50 years after her death?
Absolutely. And one of Hollywood's brightest stars in the 1950s. As her career progressed, however, Monroe suffered from substance abuse and mental illness and began to fall out of favor in Hollywood as studios labeled her difficult to work with. In 1962, Monroe died in her Brentwood home of an apparent overdose that rocked the city. But was it an overdose?
No. It was because she got caught in those tunnels.
Yeah, I think it was more the Kennedys. However, it appears...
That's a joke, government. Don't kill us.
Actually, government, I would really... They're supposed to release all the Kennedy stuff.
Yeah, that's not...
I would love to know everything about that. However, it appears not even crossing over could separate the star of the screen from her old home. More than a few residents have reported seeing her hanging around her old room 1200, frequently popping up in a mirror that was eventually removed after the customer started freaking out. Many see Marilyn in the mirror, a maintenance worker once told the Hollywood Reporter. Monroe isn't the only ghost rumored to walk the halls either. The spirit of actor Montgomery Clift is said to roam the Roosevelt as well. The restlessness of Clift's spirit may have something to do with his rocky personal life. According to his brother, Clift was bisexual. and his sexuality was often discussed in the tabloids, despite Cliff's best attempts to remain private.
Yeah, that stuff back then would have been like...
Yeah, this was like the 1950s. In 1956, tragedy struck when Cliff's car smashed into a telephone pole, jeopardizing his life and leaving his face disfigured. Although he would survive the crash, the incident sparked what acting teacher Robert Lewis called the longest suicide in Hollywood. As Cliff turned to prescription painkillers and alcohol abuse to cope with his new life, he eventually attempted to return to the screen, but sadly died of an apparent heart attack in 1966 at only 45 years old. Now Cliff's spirit occupies room 928, forever fiddling with the thermostat and the radio in an attempt to remain connected to the world. It was also said, I read another article, that he likes to play the trumpet. Like, you can hear him walking up and down the hallways playing the trumpet.
If I was at a hotel and I kept hearing a trumpet, I would be pissed.
Right? And he also likes to nudge the women of the hotel. So,
ayo.
Yeah.
Trumpet.
The Roosevelt hasn't shied away from their ghostly guests either. These days, you can rent the specially designated Marilyn Monroe suite at the Roosevelt. But be warned, you never know who might pop up from behind the door. Now, I have another ghost of the Roosevelt. And this one's kind of sad. Caroline, the youngest of the hotel's spectral residents, first crossed paths with psychic reader Peter James in the Academy Room back in 1992. However, it wasn't until they met in the penthouse library that Peter could communicate with her. He found her in tears, and when he asked what was wrong, she shared her concern for her mother's safety. Despite Peter's attempts to comfort her, she vanished. To this day, Caroline can be seen playing and wandering the hallways in search for her mother's. Guests and employees often mistake her for a living child. She typically wears a pink jacket and blue jeans. Even a receptionist was once fooled as Caroline skipped around the lobby singing like an ordinary carefree kid.
Aww.
Yeah, so she's always looking for her mom, and I hate that so much. Okay. Next, we have the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Okay. Hollywood Forever Cemetery was founded in 1899 and was originally named Hollywood Memorial Park Cemetery. The original site occupied 100 acres, but 40 acres were sold off to Paramount and RKO Studios in 1920. Part of the land was set aside for the Beth Olam Cemetery, where people from Hollywood's Jewish community are buried. By the end of the 20th century, the owners ran into financial difficulties and the cemetery became run down. In 1989, Tyler Cassidy of Forever Enterprises bought the property and restored it and renamed it Hollywood Forever. The grounds are dotted with many statues, monuments, and unusual headstones, along with two large indoor mausoleums. Also, I think Toto from The Wizard of Oz is buried there, too.
Oh,
yeah? Many stars from the old days of Hollywood are interred at Hollywood Forever. Some of the famous people who are buried at the cemetery are, and y'all, I didn't know who any of these people were. Faye Ray, Darla Hood, Janet Gaynor, Darren McGavin, Cecil B. DeMille, Douglas Fairbanks, stop me if you know any of these people, Nelson Eddy, Peter Lorre, Tyrone Power, Mel Blanc, Peter Finch, Edward G. Robinson, Benjamin Bugsy Siegel, I know that one, Carl Alfalfa Switzer, and Charlie Chaplin. We know Charlie Chaplin. Rudolph, known as the Sheik, was the heartthrob of Silent Pictures and died after having surgery for a gastric ulcer, as in Rudolph Valentino. Thousands of people attended his funeral, and his body was transported back to Hollywood Forever Cemetery from New York City. On the anniversary of his death, a lady dressed in black, including a veil, brought roses to Valentino's crypt. She continued her annual visit for several years, but soon the media found out and everybody wanted to identify the mysterious lady. Several women came forward to say that they were the lady in black. Dietra Flame, who is believed to be the real lady in black, passed away in 1984. Some visitors now see the ghost of a lady in black kneeling in front of Valentino's tomb. Others have seen roses suddenly appear in the empty vases on the tomb wall. People have reported the sounds of footsteps or the feelings of being watched. The annual memorial service for Rudolph Valentino continues to this day, where loads of people dress as the lady in black. Virginia Rapp. Virginia was a silent film actress who was rushed to hospital when attending a party for actor Roscoe Fatty Arbuckle. She died a few days later of a ruptured bladder, but Fatty Arbuckle was charged with rape and murder because other party attendees said that he dragged her into a room. Although he was acquitted of the crime, his acting career was ruined and her reputation was tarnished. At her grave at Hollywood Forever Cemetery, witnesses feel cold air and hear the sounds of her crying. Some people say the sobbing sounds are coming up from the ground from her coffin. It is believed that Virginia is crying because she didn't have the opportunity to defend her reputation. Next, we have Clifton Webb. Clifton starred as Mr. Belvedere in three movies, Sitting Pretty, Mr. Belvedere Goes to College, and Mr. Belvedere Rings the Bell. He also played in the films Laura, Cheaper by the Dozen, and Near My God to Thee. He starred in many other films during his long career. His ghost likes to haunt the Abbey of the Psalms Mausoleum, where visitors hear whispering voices, they see strange lights, and feel cold drafts and smell his cologne. Witnesses have seen a semi-transparent figure of Clifton Webb dressed in a suit and an aura in the shape of his body. People have reported the sound of whistling or his voice yelling out to get attention. Although he is not buried at Hollywood Forever Memorial Cemetery, the ghost of Hearst has been visiting the grave of his mistress, Marion Davis. Apparently, it's to see if everything is going okay for her. Horror movies are shown every summer at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, where the public is invited to picnic while watching films projected onto the side of the building. Visitors are welcome to stroll around the grounds and can purchase a map where the graves of the famous people are identified. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Y'all.
I hate beagles.
Oh my God. If y'all can hear that, we had to let our dogs outside while I was talking. And our beagle is so loud when he goes outside. Do y'all hear him?
It's like he's yelling.
Our neighbors have to hate us. Okay.
Wow.
There he goes. So.
Okay, the Hollywood sign, it was really Hollywood land. It was basically because it was an up-and-coming, upscale neighborhood that they were trying to build. Or whatever, and then I don't know why they changed it for sure, but they called it land because it's when they were developing it.
So it was going to be like the name of that, I guess, neighborhood or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh.
I guess.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Anywho.
Yeah, there was a lot more haunted places.
There's got to be more haunted places because I've heard of a lot of deaths in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. There was a bunch. Let's see here.
There's been a lot of people that's died in Hollywood. You'd think more places are haunted. Because, like, for example, the Brandon Lee thing. You know that shit ain't settled down because that shouldn't have happened. You know?
Okay, well.
I'm just saying.
What about Dan Aykroyd's old house? How about that one?
What is it?
Well, where did he get the idea for Ghostbusters, you may ask?
Where did he get the idea for Ghostbusters?
Well, I'm so glad you asked me that. Well, it was after he saw some of the creepiest stuff ever go down in his very own home. He has described paranormal activity like doors locking on their own and the lights turning on and off on their own and a piano playing music on its own. He also, I heard a podcast about this as well. Dan Aykroyd is a huge member of MUFON, and that's the big UFO thing. He's very big into extraterrestrial stuff. His house is an old family house. It's been in the family for years. As a matter of fact, he says that his old friend...
Peter Venkman?
John Belushi. Oh. Is it John Belushi?
I doubt it.
Or, no, it's, he's got a brother, and I always get him confused.
Peter Venkman?
No. Yes, it's John Belushi. Visits him quite frequently, and they have conversations. His ghost.
Oh, okay. Jim.
John. Yeah, because he's got a brother, Jim. But the house has been haunted for a very long time, and it's just, it's normal, and he will not sell it or anything. So there's that. And let's see here.
What else can you find, girl?
I know, I can find so much stuff.
How can you now?
Let's see here.
Bum, 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 bum. Boom, boom, boom,
Culver boom. Studios. This spot in southwestern LA may not have the same historical cachet as Paramount Studios, but its ghost cachet is on point. Its original owner died on William Randolph Hearst's yacht. The circumstances of his death are still debated, but one version of the story has it that Hearst shot him.
One version and not one virgin, because you just said virgin.
Virgin.
One version of the story. It's virgin. We know those don't exist in Hollywood.
Stop it. He was shot because they thought he was Charlie Chaplin, because Charlie Chaplin. I can't talk now. I'm flustered. Was having an affair with his mistress. So people see his ghost around the studio all the time. The Chateau Marmont. By now, this storied hotel's history is known all over the world. From Lindsay Lohan's Wild Ways to the tragic deaths that have occurred in the infamous bungalows.
Lindsay Lohan's hot.
Gross. Late comedian John Belushi is believed to haunt number 3 ever since he passed of a cocaine overdose on the premises. Most creepily is a family living there in the late 90s reported that their toddler told them he saw a ghost that looked like Belushi. He called the ghost the funny man.
That would freak me out.
Right? I'm not going to go over Demi Lovato's stuff or Matthew McConaughey. Let's see. You can talk about something while I...
Let's talk about Angry Birds. I'm beating the shit out of these pigs.
Are you?
Yes. Did our beagle ever come back inside?
No, he's still...
He's gone.
Okay. The Knickerbocker Hotel. And that's fun to say. Devotees may feel the spirits of several major celebrities at the former Knickerbocker Hotel, like Marilyn Monroe, who honeymooned there. In its heyday, the hotel was a happy hotspot. Unfortunately, the once celebratory, feel-good nature of the place is now overshadowed by the grim despair of some of its former occupants. a lonely and withdrawn D.W. Griffith, famed filmmaker, drowned his sorrows at the hotel bar and died underneath a fancy chandelier in a main hall. Actress Frances Farmer was arrested here and battled several manic depressive episodes during her stay, and a number of seances have occurred on the hotel's rooftop. Attempts to spiritually connect with the magician extraordinaire Harry Houdini. Many of those in attendance ended up feeling closer to him. Harry Houdini was kind of a dick.
Oh.
Oh, my. I'm just, like, I've learned a lot about him. And it's like any kind of paranormal story that you hear back then, he was always there or showed up to tell them that they were lying, that it was not real. So, like, I'll have to find a story that he makes an appearance in, because they're like, I've heard so many podcasts and they're like, here comes Harry Houdini, you know, like he always wanted to like prove that it wasn't real. Now we did do a story. I think he came by the Winchester Mystery House and he couldn't say anything about that, I believe. Let's see. Oh, the Chinese Theater.
Yeah.
This is the tale of two starkly different ghosts named Annabelle and Victor.
Victor.
Within the tourist magnet, the Chinese Theater opened in 1927. Annabelle supposedly lurks around and pulls on the red show curtains. The young girl has spooked theater staff members for decades. In 1982, promising young actor Victor Killian was brutally killed a block away from the theater. Since then, Victor's presence has been felt within the immediate exterior area of theater and across Hollywood Boulevard. His ghost is said to continuously walk the route in hopes to retrace his murderer's footsteps, seeking redemption or revenge.
Ooh, probably revenge.
I would say so.
Revenge.
Warner Pacific Theater, opened by the Warner siblings, Albert, Harry, Jack, and Sam. Is that Warner Brothers?
I guess.
The Warner Pacific Theater building was an arduous project to complete. Sam lost much sleep while dedicating long hours to perfecting the sound system in the building in preparation of their passion project, the presentation of the first ever talking film.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, Sam passed away from a brain hemorrhage just a day before the New York premiere of the brothers' groundbreaking talkie, The Jazz Singer. About 6 months after the premiere, a dedication ceremony was held in the theater in honor of Sam. Ever since this event, sightings of his ghost have been reported stomping in rooms, pacing up and down the stairs and around the lobby, looking frustrated. I don't know how to pronounce this. It looks like the Pantages Theater. Purposely avoided this one because I couldn't pronounce it, but it's supposed to be full of apparition activity. The Grand Hollywood local is home to the ghost of a young woman who died in the mezzanine in 1932. Said to be a Hollywood hopeful seeking to make a big break in show business, theater staff have claimed to hear a female voice singing from the mezzanine from time to time. Purchased by Howard Hughes in 1949, the impressive Art Deco movie palace is also haunted by his ghost, pacing through offices, particularly on the second floor. Well after Hughes' death, it has been reported that his presence was felt in a gust of wind. In other incidents, workers have seen him walking around backstage. Did you ever watch that movie, The Aviator?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That is such a great movie. Like, anytime it is on, I will watch it. It's so good. Also, it has Gwen Stefani as, what was her name? I can't think of her name.
The Aviator.
No, she wasn't. She was in, Hell's Angels. It was, Hughes, I'm gonna find it.
Find it.
Here it is.
Get it.
What was her name? Jean Harlow. What were you about to say?
I don't remember.
It was Jean Harlow. She played Jean Harlow, and she just looked beautiful in it. But as a matter of fact, Jean Harlow's old house is haunted in Holly Madison lives in that house now.
Oh, really?
Yes. And
with Buffnuts?
Well, Buffnuts does not live with her, but he did an episode of Ghost Adventures in her house. Like, he interviewed her and stuff, and she talked about all the hauntings and stuff going on in the Harlow Mansion. So it's very cool. But
I wonder if the Playboy Mansion's haunted.
Oh, it is. But that, I'm so glad you brought that up, because Bridget Marquardt and Holly Madison have their own podcast, and they're telling all the secrets of Playboy. Well, their Halloween episode talked about all of the hauntings in the Playboy Mansion. And there's quite a bit, actually. And if that's...
if I was going to be a ghost, that's where I would want to haunt.
Would you now, though? Because they don't have the Playboy Mansion anymore.
Well, it's still around.
Well, it's not for Playboy. It's not. But, yeah, if you are interested in that, give that a listen, too. I can actually tell you... I think it's like The Girls Next Door. It's Girls Next Level. And that's Holly and Bridget. And they do talk about that. So if y'all want to give that a listen to. But Holly doesn't really talk about her house. But Bridget has her own podcast. And she's a paranormal investigator now. And
does her and Buffnuts hang out?
No. But she has her own podcast about stuff that she's done. And it's very cool. So... that'd be so cool to be able to get Bridget on the show, you know it? I would freaking die.
Yeah, she's hot too.
Bridget Marquardt. How do you say her last name? I cannot say her last name. Anyways, I love her. So, if she ever hears this, please give us a shout and come talk to us.
Give us a shout out.
Yeah, girl. Anyway. Thank you guys for hanging out and listening to me ramble all night. Especially coming out late and listening to me mispronounce words like virgin. And we will see you guys right on time next Sunday. And y'all stay hydrated and make good choices.
The weather is getting spooky season.
Oh my gosh, it is. It's so wonderful. So we will see y'all next Sunday.
Bye.
Bye.
Carmen, bro.